Technorama episode 574 for August 21st, 2019. I forgot the title. And down the rabbit hole she goes.
There you go. You got it, Ian.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you. Thank you very much. And if you are returning, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, where it is August. It is hot. And it is tempting to go jump in the pool, except I got some, went to the dermatologist and they froze some stuff and scraped some stuff, so I'm in no condition to go in the pool. Joining me just across the screen right there is the one and only, the talent behind the show, Craig Stapp. How are you, Craig?
Wow. Thank you for that cool introduction and a hot night. Actually, it's hot here, too.
How hot is it?
It's so hot, I went running and I stuck to the road. I'm telling you, it was...
Wait, I got it for you. There it is.
Yeah, it's pretty bad out here, too. I'm hoping in the next week... Actually, I've signed up for a race, a foot race, next week. So
use both
Saturday,
feet.
I hope the humidity drops and the temperature drops.
It's a foot race. Use both feet. It works better.
Oh, a feet race.
You know, I have dreams like that every once in a while, that one foot is working and one isn't. And I figured out why. Because I cross my feet in my sleep, and the foot that's not working is the one that's hooked behind the other one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's like when it's really hot, you know, some people, they stick one leg out of under the comforter.
Oh, no.
You ever do that?
No.
Oh, I do. I stick one leg out of the under the comforter, and sometimes and you get the idea.
This is Technorama. We're just going to talk about whatever we're talking about. No, there is a show format in here, and we are going to get you some feedback from our question of the week from last week. So let's do the song.
Letters. Oh, we get letters.
Letters,
we get
letters.
Letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out.
What's that?
Those letters.
There you go.
I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
I was just thinking we need a feedback section in our webinar at work.
Yeah.
We'd have so much more fun now that we're doing cameras again.
Hey, by the way, before you get started.
Yes.
We got an email.
Oh, we did?
I don't have his show notes.
Did we get voicemail?
No.
Who's the email from, Craig?
It's from To Go Express Courier Proposal.
Oh,
hi,
what are they?
Sir or ma'am. We are from To Go Express SM Urdenta, located in second level SM Urdenta City, Pagasian.
Are you reading the Google transcript?
No, I'm not. Okay. We are pleased to submit your proposal for your logistics service needs. Please see attached file for reference. It is a Word doc. I am not opening it.
Click and here and give us your credit card number.
Yeah, you can see it. You can see it. It looks like a Word doc. I mean, the little preview. I'm not opening it, though. And then it says follow-up. Good day. Thank you for this. However, I checked the attached proposal, and it is intended for another person, not for the undersigned, Alan. Oh, and that's his. I'm not going to read his. So somebody actually opened it, but there's like... You know, 100 people on the CC.
On the CC?
Anyway. Yeah, and including us.
So, well, maybe we'll get to... Yeah, reply all.
Yeah, not doing it.
That was Donna's idea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, good security.
I know, somebody
that
opened
our,
it. That's
that was fun. Our listener mail. We have... Our question of the week from last week was, what was that one toy you just couldn't do without when you were a child? And we got lots and lots. Kyle Slingo says, I always wanted a Woody doll. Wow, he must be fairly young if he was a child during Toy Story days.
Yeah.
BJ Kiefer says,
I was like, wait a minute, 95 is when it came out.
My teddy bear Ken. Hey, 95 is now 24 years ago. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
the
hell you say.
Even if you were 35 now, you were a kid 25 years ago.
That's right. Yeah, true.
We have Steve Asplund has a G.I. Joe with a Kung Fu grip. Joe Fiore says, I had a stuffed gonzo that I took everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Camilla.
Actually, it looks like Gonzo's wearing his wife beater t-shirt and underwear.
And the cape he stole from Super Grover.
The laundry room. Yeah.
He's tidy whities in his wife beater. Poor Camilla. Ken Mikley,
by the way, wife beating is not a laughing matter.
Ken Mikley posted an animated GIF of Harrison Ford blow drying Chewbacca's hair, which I thought was rather comical. April Stewart says, my Barbies. Brianna says, I have a Beanie Baby dog, which actually lives in Germany with me. Took him everywhere as a kid and I guess as an adult. Yeah, I remember when she was born because her dad was my best man in my wedding.
Oh, speaking of feeling old.
Yeah. Oh, man, I went back to Wisconsin this past week and crossed paths with some of my old coworkers, you know, guys that I was working with as a young to mid 20 something. And, you know, now these guys are grandfathers. Yeah, no. Hey, Jay, how's it going? How are the kids? Oh, he says, I got one getting married next summer. I said, I got one who got married last week. Yeah, but I'm a grandpa. I said, you win. Yeah. Patty Efforts also says Barbie, Joel McLaughlin, Hot Wheels. Ralph says Transformers. Kiko says my go-kart built with a Briggs & Stratton gasoline lawnmower engine. Always wanted a go-kart.
Yeah, those were awesome.
Tina Heikala says my toy horses. More Legos for Mike Wills. Jeff Deneau, my karate instructor, says bazooka. He had a toy bazooka.
Wow.
Gary Lindros,
maybe he's talking about the bubble gum.
I understand you so much better knowing this fact. I don't know who he was replying to. Tim Zengelin says HO cars. Melissa Bartel, roller skates. Oh, you know, I hadn't thought about that, but as a teen, that was something I probably couldn't live without, as well as many of the other people that say bicycle. Weber Baker has walkie-talkies in here, I think is pretty cool. I had an army man, and I had Lincoln Logs, and many hours spent building forts with both of those, even though they didn't technically go there. Eve Otero says, a hash pipe. What kind of child's toy was that?
Wait a minute. How old was he?
Tiffany Taylor says, a Mrs. Beasley. Oh.
Mm.
From that was from Brady Bunch. Cindy had a Mrs. Beasley. Ice skates, bicycle, color forms. Remember color forms? That was kind of a precursor to Barbie. It was a two-dimensional thing with the vinyl stick-ons that you put on. You put the clothes on the people, but it was really just a sheet of paper and some vinyl stickers.
But color forms, when I think of stuff like that, I think of the Shrinky Dinks. You know, you used to put them in the oven.
Shrinky Dinks is another good one. Yeah. You color them and away they went.
So what could you not live without?
It really depends on what era you're talking about. As a small child, I think it was probably the Legos and Army Men. As I got older, it was the bicycle, and then probably turned into the roller skates as I got into my teenage years.
I remember being very attached to my skateboard as I got a little older, but bicycle would be way up to the top of that list. But early on, I'm gonna embarrass myself a little bit. Along with Joe, I did not have Gonzo, but I had, when I was much smaller, I had a Winnie the Pooh about the same size as that Gonzo, and I carried him everywhere. I love that thing.
A number of stuffed animals. I remember teddy bears and a raccoon, and there was a little stuffed monkey with this goofy grin on his face that I had for a long time. And I remember,
is it one of the little sock monkeys?
No. It was just like a little stuffed animal about 3-4 inches high. And I remember giving it to Julie and she would carry it by the tail. And after a while, it just started smelling of rotten formula. Cause I don't know how this thing survived. I don't know whatever happened to it, but I do have a couple of pictures of, I call them Snowflake after one of the local characters in town. Who had a similar grin.
The other thing, so beyond Winnie the Pooh, was as I got a little older and started watching Star Trek, I had a lot of Mego action figures with the Star Trek Enterprise bridge mock-up. It was like basically it was laminated cardboard, the bridge. And I had like a few other things like Spock's communication console.
Tricorder? Oh, the console, yeah.
Yeah, it sits on the ground. It's really a walkie-talkie, but it's a console. It sits down, and it had big buttons that said, had red alert, you know, and transmit and stuff like that. And so some of the Star Trek toys, and then, of course, Star Wars. I had action figures and spaceships coming out my butt.
I can't remember how old I was. I think it was maybe 12, 13, when I got the Radio Shack 150-in-1 kit. That was... several years worth of entertainment and education.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is such a good gift that I think everybody should have had one at some point. That was a great project.
Yep.
Hey, do you ever know one of those kids, could be in your neighborhood or maybe a friend, that he maybe was a single kid, you know, an only, and ended up with like all the toys that you ever wanted to see?
And I'm in a family of 9 and I get like, socks.
Here's your super ball, Chuck.
I hate those kids.
Yeah. I remember Adam and I were, or our family was friends with another family. They had an only, and I swear it looked like we walked into, you know, Toys R Us. He had every, it's like, whoa, you had this.
There were a lot the of things that I get remember. The go-karts.
Yeah, a lot of things I remember about putting my hands on, but they were all his, you know, all the really cool stuff.
Yeah. And, the video games. Every year you get a new video console.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
We had a borrowed 2600.
Well, I tell you what, that's another thing I could not get enough of was that 2600. I wore that out.
I think everybody
can't tell you how many times I repaired the joystick. You know, the white plastic inside.
That's the reason our wrists and fingers are all messed up these days.
Hello. Yeah.
I have Atari-itis.
Atari-itis. Actually, sounds like it could be a thing. Yeah. Oh, let's see. Michael King says, my Tiger tank.
Oh, yeah.
Mine in the late 50s and 60s. John Miller Jr. His 10 speed was awesome.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I agree.
Lots of stuff. Right? Yeah. I'm trying to think. Other things that may have beeped, buzzed, or... I know Operation was fun. Someone else had Perfection and Superfection. You know, where you had to put all the shapes in the right square, in the right holes before it went kaboom.
Superfection. I hadn't seen that one.
I think it was more and weirder shapes.
Okay.
Rubik's Cube was 1981, 82. There was this era of just massive puzzles. Rubik's Cube, I think, started it, and by that following Christmas, there was Rubik's Revenge. There was a cylindrical version. There was Rubik's Rings.
There were a lot of other knockoffs, too.
Somehow I got two copies of Rubik's Rings, and I can't solve either one of them because it was very fragile, held together with fish line. So I don't dare touch them now because the stuff's probably brittle enough. But
I had one that was like I don't think it had the name Rubik in it, but it was a something snake. And it, you could fold it, and if you did it right, you could get it into a pyramid shape. And so I got to where I could do that really fast.
Yeah, that was about the same era. lots of puzzle toys.
Yeah, there were lots of different variations on the Rubik's Cube, you know, pyramids, circles, or spheres, rather. There was all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the cylindrical one was more or less a version of the sliding tiles, you know, where you have the 4x4 grid. And but it was cylindrical, so you could, you know, rotate the rings and slide things back and forth. I did have one of those 4x4 sliding tiles, you know, where you have 15 and there's an empty space and you slide them up. It was a Miller Lite logo. Because we went to the Miller Brewery in Milwaukee, Wisconsin one day, and that was what I picked out of the souvenir shop. Pilsner beer, or a fine Pilsner beer is what it said. All right.
That's filling. Tastes great. Whoa.
That's it for our feedback. We will have another question for you at the end of the show. Let's do the history thing now that we're...
Wait, do we have a question at the end of the show? Let me look.
Do we? Yep, you better work on one. Okay. Good job. Thank you. On this day in history for August 21st, 2019, this is the 233rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 132 days remaining in 2019. It was on this date in 1770 that James Cook formally claims Eastern Australia for Great Britain, naming it New South Wales.
Oh, let me get back to the show notes. And 198 years ago today, Jarvis Island is discovered by the crew of the ship Eliza Francis.
That same date in 1883, an F5 tornado struck Rochester, Minnesota, leading to the creation of the Mayo Clinic.
And let's see, I was trying to chat and read this at the same time.
Also, focus, Craig, focus.
I know, I can multitask. Also today in, wait a minute, yeah, that's the next
1888.
One. Also today in 1988, the first successful adding machine in the United States is patented by William Seward Burroughs.
Adding machine.
Burroughs. By we Burroughs. Saw his name everywhere.
Yes. It was on that same date in 1897 that Oldsmobile, that good old American automobile manufacturer and mark, is founded.
And let me go back one more time.
Focus, Craig, focus.
I'm trying to entertain our listeners.
Wait till the end of this segment.
Okay, fine. 108 years ago today, the Mona Lisa was stolen by Vincenzo. Vincenzo? Rugia.
From?
The Louvre. Louvre employee. Oh, I'm sorry.
That same date in 1945, physicist Harry Daglian is fatally irradiated in a criticality accident during an experiment with the Demon Core in Los Alamos National Laboratory. Ouch.
And it was 62 years ago today, the Soviet Union successfully conducts a long-range test flight of the R-7 Semyorka, the first intercontinental ballistic missile.
August 21st, 1961, Motown releases what would be the first number one hit in America, Please Mr. Postman, by the Marvelettes. And they weren't referring to that REST API test application.
Yeah, Marvelettes is like,
The MCU, right? Right.
They're the cheerleaders for the MCU.
Go Quill!
It was also on this date in 1993 that NASA loses contact with the Mars Observer spacecraft.
Thanos, he's our man.
He can't do it. No one can.
He'll snap you back again. Also, August 21st, 2017. Wow, it's been 2 years since the solar eclipse traversed the continental United States.
Wow.
Time flies when you're having fun. Happy birthday goes out on this day too. French mathematician and engineer Hubert Gautier. Gautier? Born on this date in 1660. Yeah, we'll go with yours.
And Giacomo.
Giacomo.
Giacomo. Giacomo? Whatever. F. Mardali.
Maraldi.
Maraldi. Maraldi. You stop it. You're messing me up.
I'm helping.
French Italian astronomer and mathematician was born on that same date in 1665.
Scottish engineer and inventor created gas lighting. William Murdoch was born 265 years ago today, donkey.
And Jean Stas, the Belgian chemist and physician, was born 206 years ago today.
French chemist and academic Charles Friedrich Gerhardt, born on this date in 1816.
And Nathaniel Everett Green, the English painter and astronomer, was born 196 years ago today.
Sure, you get the English one.
Yeah.
Fritz Freeling! What was he known for?
Prince Freeling? Freeling, I don't know, Finglonger?
No, he was an animator, director, and producer. Oh. He did a lot of cartoons. He was born on the same date in 1906.
And Russian mathematicians and mathematicians.
Russian physicist. It wouldn't be Technorama without a Russian physicist.
That's right. Physicist Nikolai Bogoliubov.
Sound it out.
Was born 110 years ago today. Bogoliubov. Like a fecal body part.
He was the lawyer for Charles Manson. Also born on the same date in 1938, American singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer, and actor Kenny Rogers, the gambler himself.
Okay. And Hungarian-American mathematician and computer scientist Andrei Semerdry, born on this date in 1940.
Also born on the same date in 1951, Chilean mathematician and computer scientist Eric Goles.
An English-Canadian actress and physicist, Kim Cattrall, was born on the same date, 1956.
Canadian actress Carrie Ann Moss. Trinity is 52 today.
And Russian-American computer scientist and businessman. Got to add that in there.
I hope you can get this one. It's Russian, but you can get this. You can get this. I'm sure you can.
I think I can. So bear with me. Co-founded Google, Sergey Brin, was born on this date in 1973.
Awesome job. Let's do the birthdays real quick. 22nd has three birthdays. Zoidberg. What about Zoidberg? Kyle Slingo. Alchemy Dragon. 24th is Kira Fiori. Crazy Joe and Christine's daughter. 25th is Dave Grizzly Smith from Grizzly Growls Podcast. And Chuck's Forgotten iPod. It's not forgotten if it's on this list. Is on the 27th. That's the way it was on this day in Technorama history. For August 21st, 2019. If you want to get your birthday on there, if you're not on there, happy birthday to you anyway this week. If you want to get on that list, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, just like you see right there on the screen as we're waving at the screen. If you're in audio, chuckchat.com/technorama.
Just pretend we're waving at the screen.
We'll get you there.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something. When I was in Wisconsin this past week on business, we had our Wisconsin ServiceNow user group snug meeting at Lambeau Field. They took us on a tour, and we stopped in one of the skyboxes where the alumni sit, and the guy's going through the history of the Green Bay Packers, and NFL was founded on this date, and Curly Lambeau, blah, blah, blah. And I piped up and I said, did you know today is also the anniversary of the NFL, or the AFL, excuse me, the AFL was founded on this date. My coworkers turn around and go, how'd you know that? I said, I do a podcast. And the tour guide says, oh yeah, what year? I went, 1959. He says, you do a football podcast? No, I do a tech nerd podcast.
Yeah, I know this anyway. That's pretty cool. Did you have a good time there, by the way?
What's that?
Did you have a good time there?
I had a wonderful time. Got to see a lot of old coworkers, some friends, great customers. We took a tour of Lambeau Field. We had beer and brats, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Now, you were in your old hometown, right?
I was staying in Appleton, but the thing was in Green Bay, so about 30 miles away. So I drove up for that and then came back and then visited with some old coworkers and hung out on Thursday and then came back Thursday night. So
was it strange going to your old hometown and staying in a hotel?
Yes. Yes, it was. And renting a car. It's like, I'm driving around and this isn't my car. About as strange as when we first got here and drove the minivan around Phoenix and then continued to drive it to San Diego, which is someplace I never would have thought I'd be driving my own vehicle.
Right.
So I'm driving to ServiceNow in San Diego in my minivan. What?
Yeah. When I saw you were going back to Appleton, I went, I wonder if that's weird going to your old hometown and staying in a hotel.
It is.
Yeah.
I drove by the old homestead. It's changed a little bit in terms of landscaping. Obviously, the trees got bigger, but...
Have you not learned anything from Lord of the Rings? You can't go home again.
Well, I didn't throw anything in a volcano, if that's what you're asking.
Hey, you should have gone and see if the keys still work on the door.
I don't have any of the old keys. Thank goodness.
Open the door.
But the garage door was wide open. The garage door was wide open.
Oh, you could have just walked in.
Probably. All right, let us do the news.
Good news, crybabies.
Our first news story up is NASA is quite literally giving away an Apollo-era Saturn rocket to anyone who can carry it out. Therein lies the crux of the... Okay. Ever wanted to own a Saturn 1? This is not the Saturn 5 that went to the moon. It's one of the earlier models, Saturn 1. For anyone who needs to transport it, it can be yours. Live or work in one place for a long enough time, and you being the accumulated growing stockpile of, well, stuff. That's true for the average person's home, but it's equally true for organizations, even NASA. According to news site CNET.com, NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center, MSFC, in Alabama has, quote, accessed a Saturn 1 Block 1 booster, which is part of the Saturn rocket, and the space organization is looking to find a good home. The booster itself is the bottommost stage of the Saturn 1 rocket. It's a beefy apparatus designed to power out of the Earth's atmosphere and the precursor to the Saturn V that was used for Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins' historic trip to the moon. The MSFC was a major player in the development of Saturn I rockets in the 1960s. If you find yourself in the market for a rocket, which I'm sure many of us do, there are two things you should know about this one. The first is that it's in mint condition and has never been used.
What? Hey.
If it had, it would be at the bottom of the ocean somewhere. Well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And not available for interested parties. The second thing you should know, should be aware of, is that even though NASA will, quote, rehome it for free, there's one catch. Whomever takes the rocket has to pay a whopping $250,000 cost to have it shipped.
Well, that's not free.
The cost for transporting the behemoth certainly puts most individuals out of the running to get it, but shouldn't be a problem for many museums and educational institutions. Donna, can we get the bottom part of a rocket?
Put it out in your yard.
Use it as a cell phone tower. I
don't I don't know.
Put a webcam on it and keep an eye on those neighbor's dogs.
Isn't this like the beginning of the pilot for the movie or the TV show Salvage One with Andy Griffith?
Didn't see that one.
You don't remember that one?
Nope.
They built a spaceship with garbage, you know, with like, he ran a salvage yard and he was going to go to the moon, and his big thing was he was going to go to the moon and salvage the junk there that they left behind.
This sounds like one of those stories we're going to have to follow up on. Find out who got
it. You haven't seen that show? It came on in 79. It had two seasons.
No.
Andy Griffith. Come on.
No.
All right. Well, then we'll hit up YouTube later, Chuck.
All right. Because I need more content to consume.
Yes, you do.
All right.
Hey, by the way, I didn't say it was a great show. I just
you and I are in tech industry jobs, right?
I think so.
Tell us, does that affect many people?
Yes, it affects lots of people. I know so because I had a problem last week and I heard about it.
Nice segue. We're going to have to work on that one. Why don't you just read the next story?
I affect lots of people. So does a tech industry job growth actually lower wages for some workers? Quite possibly. A new study finds clear evidence that low-skilled workers fail to benefit from high-tech growth development, writes a senior editor at The Atlantic. The UK-based study was co-authored by two researchers, one from London School of Economics and the other from the Resolution Foundation in London. CityLab summarizes the results. High-tech growth leads to better jobs and higher wages for more skilled workers, but it leads to lower wages for less skilled workers. And these effects are compounded by housing costs, with less skilled workers being even worse off than housing costs when they're taken into account. Indeed, the researchers see a negative and statistically significant impact from high-tech wages for workers in the third bottom of the education attainment. So this effect is even larger when local housing costs are included. I'd say any living expenses, probably just housing, but which stands for, in sharp contrast to the situation for higher skilled workers. Their effective wages rise when controlling for housing costs. Trying to figure out
how housing costs like work. Sounds like the high-tech stuff is driving a gap between skilled and unskilled workers. Have we seen this before?
I'm sure everywhere. But you know really comes to mind is where people go through those boot camps and get certified really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And they go in thinking they're going to get a job doing what they, you know, you can be a sysadmin in 2 weeks, you know, going through our boot camp, especially when they were shoving people through Microsoft certifications early, especially in the early 2000s. I just couldn't believe the people that were showing up for interviews, and I was like, this person still doesn't know how to run Notepad. You know,
hey, you might have something there, Craig. I think we could run a bunch of workshops and get people through ServiceNow work boot camps in about 2 weeks. You could have
a surprise. We do. No, but you know what I'm saying? I think that those kind of people suffer because they're not getting the higher paid jobs that they think they're going to be getting. They could have been focusing on something else or maybe their own skills.
They're drawing, what is it? They're drawing Tippy on the back of the matchbook cover.
Clippy?
No. The little turtle or the pirate, you might have a career in art design.
Oh right. Yeah, the little pamphlet. Try drawing one of these characters and see if you got the skills to do what we needed you to do. Anyway, I'm not a fan of those kind of boot camps because, I mean, all they do is get you semi-familiar with, you know.
Yeah.
It's
an introductory.
It's a small introduction to something that you should be like way out here.
All right, let's take a
way out here. And by the way, if you're listening to audio, I'm separating my hands
by at least 15 or 20 feet.
Well, if you extend your hands all the way out, that's at least 5 feet.
Let's take a quick break. We will be right back with the Hacks and Strange Stories.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. Hey, these guys make me feel like I'm flying with Superman. Oh, yeah.
Found that one in the archives.
Oh, yeah.
Like, anybody remember Karen from California? I was hoping Brian would come over for that one.
I still wonder whatever happened to her. I hadn't heard from her in a long, 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 long time.
Oh, 12 years or more.
Yeah.
It's been a while. We have a story from Ars Technica about a geeky license plate that earned a particular hacker a $12,000 in parking tickets.
Somebody got reverse hacked.
The relationship between Americans and automobiles is a complicated one. More than mere transport, cars can become extensions of one's personality. Think of stereotypes about drivers of a particular model, like a Corvette, for instance. Since cars are mass-produced, it's natural that people want to personalize them. Sometimes it's covering them with every bit of chrome plastic you can find at J.C. Whitney. Sometimes it's plastering them with stickers, Marriott carpet. And sometimes it might just be a personalized number plate. The rules for personalized plates vary depending on the states in which you are registered, and these can foster creativity. But today, we have a cautionary tale from California, which reveals the risks of being too creative. It's the story of a security researcher known as, well, we'll call him Droogie.
Droogie.
Who presented his experience at the recent DEF CON conference in Las Vegas. Droogie decided his new vanity plate should read Null, N-U-L-L. While he did this merely for giggles, he told the audience that there was an ulterior motive, as reported by Mashable. Quote, I was like, I'm the beep, he joked to the crowd. I'm going to be invisible instead. I got all the tickets. Droogie's hope was that the new plate would exploit California's DMV ticketing system in a similar manner to the classic XKCD Bobby Tables.
Yeah.
Enter the license plate. I love the Bobby Tables. No. With any luck, the DMV's ticket database would see null and consign any of his tickets to the void. Unfortunately, the exact opposite happened. First, Droogie got a parking ticket, incurred for an actual parking infraction. So much for being invisible.
Yeah, no kidding.
I feel like we need the this music.
Yeah.
So much for being invisible.
Yeah.
Then,
would you like to be invisible? Get a vanity plate that says.
Particular database of outstanding tickets has associated the license plate null with his address. It sent him every other ticket that lacked a real plate.
That was hilarious.
You fool. The total came to $12,049 worth of tickets. Droogie told the DEF CON audience that he had received little sympathy from either the California DMV or the Los Angeles Police Department, both telling him to just change his plate to something else. That remains something he refused to do. Although the initial $12,000 worth of fines was removed, the private company that administers the database didn't fix the issue, and new null tickets are still showing up.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. I read this, and I thought, this is perfect. You go, hey, I'm going to be cool and everything, and then, oops.
I'll avoid all the tickets, and no, you get all the default tickets.
Yep. That's funny.
That is awesome. All right. So much for that. Oh, we forgot. That was part of our Hacks and Strange Stories.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Let's see who's on Facebook tonight as we do this on 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. We have, who's joined us? Michael King, John Miller Jr., you and me, and Scott Tyler. I see, there were some other, Elton Chapman. And that's all I'm seeing at the moment, but there are others that were named in there. Do you see anybody else making comments or on your green pill list?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. So.
Yep. I don't know how Facebook shows these people to us, but.
Magic.
Yeah. Then. Magic and, and database insertions.
That means it is time for Remember When. I just wanted to play that music. So, tell us, Craig, do you remember AOL?
Yes.
What do you remember about AOL the most?
I remember being frustrated when other people were using it and they say, how do I do this? And I'm looking at this portal.
I remember the floppies and CDs you got. I had a box load of those thinking, oh, this would be a novel collection. Nah, it just turned into a novel junk pile. And eventually I pitched them all.
Paperweight.
It was to see how old of a version you could get. It's like, here's one that has one free hour.
Well, you know what's funny is I ran an internet service back in the late 90s, right into 2000, and there was a lot of people that came in still using AOL, and I had to change their browser because their browser came up and it was the AOL branding, and you try to walk somebody on the phone, all right, click on mail, but it says like AOL mail or something, and they get all confused. Anyway, so AOL, this is how AOL dominated the internet of the 90s. Let it slip away. I have a feeling there's parallels between this and NetWare. Snowbell. At its peak, AOL had a market capitalization of more than $200 billion, dominating email, internet connectivity, online news, and chat. Yeah, chat they did a good job with that because that hung around for a long time.
Yes, it did. Only recently being dismissed.
Yeah. But AOL couldn't maintain its superior position as a subscription, and advertising revenue dried up with the shift from dial-up modems to cable broadband.
Well, not only that, but the dot-com bubble took away a lot of their advertising. They made a lot of their revenue, much like websites do today, on ad space. And with the dot-com burst, a lot of those venture capitalists and the companies went away, so did a lot of their revenue. So that was strike one, was in that 2000, 2001, 2002 era. And then... go ahead.
Well, and then there was the merger with Time Warner in 2000.
Yep.
Which came apart in 2009, or they unwound it, rather. Along the way, AOL tried, but failed to buy Facebook, YouTube, and the minority stake in Chinese internet company Tencent. I'm not familiar with Tencent. Eventually, AOL sold to Verizon in 2015 for $4.4 billion, where Verizon now owns Yahoo. They got two big old...
Watch the video. It's really interesting. It's like 13 minutes documentary talking with AOL CEOs from the past and present. The sell to Verizon, the creation of Oath, and then that turned into, what is it, Verizon Media or something like that. So it's pretty much been eroded away in the sands of corporate mergers and acquisitions. But
I can tell you the shift from dial-up to cable had a lot of impact on not just them. Well, they, I think they, that was their big thing, was people still use dial-up for AOL, but even my ISP, I had modems and people were dialing in. And then when there were, when the shift started to go to cable broadband, I knew it was coming. Well, DSL, especially at the beginning, DSL and cable broadband, I saw it coming. And my partner at the time was like, no, we're just sticking with what we got. And he wanted to stick with dial-up. And I was like, this is not going to last forever.
No, it's not.
And so I saw the writing on the wall, but, and, you know, I was the Nostradamus in that story, and I was right.
You want to watch an interesting show? I'm looking for it on IMDb. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? I think I've mentioned this before. A show called Halt and Catch Fire.
Yes. Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah. Lee Pace is in there, you know, for Ronan from Guardians, and fun show. It takes you back to those early days. It is fictitious, but it has interesting things about, you know, banks of dial-up modems. And
yeah, they do a good job of playing off on all those touch points in his tech history, you know, from computers to everything. Yeah, so it was really good.
Speaking of which, before we go, we didn't have a media corner tonight, but I did what I promised when I was on the plane.
Wait a minute. We got one more. Remember when?
I watched Endgame and Captain Marvel on this latest trip. So
Watch Endgame finally. Yes. And what'd you think?
You built it up too much.
What? I did not. That was Disney did. Marvel did.
No, it was a good movie.
I was invested. You said it was too much.
It was a bit long.
It was
3 hours.
Well, I left Phoenix, and
it wasn't even done by the time I got to Minneapolis. I had to come back and finish it on Thursday.
Well, they did have a lot to wrap up in it, so
yeah, it could have been cut a little bit,
maybe a hair. I don't know, but I think they wrapped up everything pretty well.
They did. They did. It was a nice ending with all the signatures and whatnot. Let's see. And I'm never going to look at cats the same way again after watching Captain Marvel.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The flirking.
And you know what? I could probably find plenty of those around my house.
All right.
Another cube.
We have a story from vice.com. Which is another short video. This one much shorter, but it was a question about what was the very first thing securely sold on the internet? And they say, they started by going, well, you got to go way back before the internet. They did make one misquote.
Bitcoin.
They did say Tim Berners-Lee invented the internet. It's like, no, he didn't. I think it was just a slip up saying World Wide Web.
Right.
I was watching closely going, did they just say what I think they said? Rewind. Yes, they did. Well, it's wrong. But they do a nice little history about where were transactions. If you go back to the ARPANET, there was a student in Stanford who bought a bag of weed from a student in MIT. But it wasn't so much a transaction that you think of today with a shopping cart and a checkout. It was more of a chat conversation. Hey, man,
I'll meet you in the parking lot and give you money.
And then 1984... they had this thing in Britain, what was it called? Televid or VidX or something, where it was an 84-year-old grandmother bought groceries from her local grocer just by saying, I want to buy this, this, and this, and the transaction took place. But the secure transaction, you may hear the urban legend that it was a pizza bought from Pizza Hut. Not true. So I encourage you to go through and watch the video. Very entertaining, very informative, assuming their journalism skills are correct, aside from Tim Berners-Lee inventing the internet. Everybody knows that was Al Gore. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, of course. Everybody knows that.
Follow that in our show notes. Go to chuckchat.com/technorama. Go to episode 574, and you will find it there. There.
See, Al Gore invented IPv3.
IPv3. It had 8 bits.
Yeah. That's right.
Good for 255 devices on the whole internet. We'll never need more than that.
Yeah, or 640K.
Oh, 254, because zero is the network. And
true.
F is the subnet mask.
Yeah.
Anyway, we want to give our thank you to our patrons. You guys deserve our undying praise. You keep the show going, as you may have heard when we first started recording, that... There are bills to be paid on a monthly basis, and your contributions help offset that tremendously. So, as part of our undying gratitude, we give you a shout out in each show and special content available only to you. Can't tell the others what it is. It's a secret handshake you need to know to get into the Patreon site. Well, actually, it's your login and password. So, thank you to Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon. All right, that you're funny man. He reversed it. Now it's Elbon Naj.
That Elbon Naj?
That Elbon Naj. Chris MC, Alexis Duran. You shouldn't have left your pink cursor there, buddy. Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Jorga Schrawin, John Miller Jr., Amber Elstad, Harold McKinstry, Amy Bowen. Thank you, everybody. Denise Inglis, Steve Weshy, Dean Jensen.
Oh, Dan, wait a minute.
What?
Weshy? That Weshy?
Dandy right. Man, NCAF1, and our newest Patreon member, Matt Baum. I think he snuck in on us a week or so ago. We forgot to mention him, but thank you anyway. And it has now disrupted the symmetry of the four columns. We now have three empty spaces to drive Craig absolutely nuts.
This will not stand. This indiscretion.
That's our only sales pitch we have, is help disbalance the table to mess up Craig. Right. If you want to be a Patreon member, the address is on the screen right now, patreon.com/technoramapodcast. If you're listening at home, let me say it again, patreon.com/technoramapodcast. For as little as a dollar a show, you can help keep the show running. And, you know, it's valuable for you. Now, you can't do that, Craig. He just copy and pasted Matt Baum three more times.
You said we missed him a couple weeks, so I'm just making up for it.
Oh, okay. Now he owes us $8.
Yeah. Oh, if that's the way it works. I'll make him a couple more rows.
We'll just keep reading them on and on and on for the rest of the night.
Matt Baum.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Matt Baum as well.
My favorite part of the show is the reading of the patrons. Last story we have is in the Geek Library, which we have. There it is. Do you have a problem with your children with too much internet, getting stuck online, and just generally avoiding social encounters in the real world? Well, South Korea has a solution for you. Tell them, Craig.
They just turn off the internet.
Just turn it off.
No, that's not it. No. So South Korea is one of the most wired countries in the world, but that level of connectivity is a double-edged sword in society that some experts say is becoming increasingly addicted to the internet, where 95% of the adults own a smartphone. I wonder what the ratio is in the U.S., or the percentage. Anyway, Korea has an environment that allows easy access to computer games and other activities online. Don't we all? It's called the internet. But Sungwon Ro, a psychiatrist, in Seoul's Hanyang University, who studies internet addiction, says you can connect to your smartphone anywhere. Every neighborhood has what is called a PC bang, or in English, PC cafe, or in English, okay, PC bang is like a PC cafe. All right.
That's what they call here, it in Korea.
Okay, so PC bang. Koreans of all ages can access the internet very easily. And those PC bangs are often shiny places with big, comfy chairs, huge screens, and fast internet. Hey, let's go. I'm in. for about $1 an hour. Okay. Most are up in 24 hours a day. So it's no wonder some customers overstay their welcome. I've seen a lot of customers come in here late in the afternoon and leave the next morning.
Oh,
that's pretty common, says Lee K. Seong, the owner of Oz PC Bang. I just like saying that, PC Bang. In Seoul's upmarket.
It might be Bong. I don't know. Huh? It might be Bong.
Bong. Okay. Well, PC Bong. Some, he says, stay a day or two, and others become, well, ripe. Whoa. Some customers who play for...
You imagine sitting down in this nice comfy chair, and you got a nice fast PC, like, what? Oh, dude. Seriously.
Somebody's in that nice comfy chair. Okay, I got to get up. Anyway, so some customers stay too long, and I'm sorry to say, they get smelly. Other customers start to complain. We have to ask them to leave.
Is it like the gym where you have to wipe down your chair when you're done?
Yeah, so they go on and talk about it. Anyway, so, yeah, I didn't realize that a dollar an hour. I mean, we don't really have internet cafes anymore. I guess a Starbucks is probably that kind of thing, right?
Well, the other part they go into is they've got an addiction treatment program. There's the National Center for Youth Internet Addiction Treatment, and they run that out of Seoul. There's lots of pictures about kids getting back into real social experiment, speaking almost in a whisper. 16-year-old girl says her time at the center has been a painful experience. The center requests NPR not to use the names or show the faces of the young people receiving treatment for their privacy reasons. She recalls feeling nervous when she first handed over her phone. I had my phone since my first year in elementary school. I've never been without it since, so I was worried.
Wow.
This is a real thing. Another girl who's 14 is still struggling. My hand gets shaky. I can't concentrate, she says. When I go back to the dormitory to get some rest, I keep thinking of Facebook. There are hearts there that I can collect from a game, but they'll go away if I don't take them up in 3 days. That worries me. Wow.
Would you say that you, I don't know, you probably don't have all those symptoms, but do you feel addicted to the internet? Although,
I feel that our job kind of... There are times where my time could be better spent not doing something on the computer, if that's what you mean.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously my work is on the internet by default because I work remotely.
Right. Sometimes that bleeds into the personal life too. It's like, hey, I'm having so much fun and I'm writing this new personal project and dang, I just spent all Saturday instead of doing something with real people.
Well, I will say this. There was a couple of times. All right. So Elton Chapman's, he's into scouts, scouting like I am. And we're actually working on the same course that's coming up. It's a leadership course. And so I was there Friday night into Saturday afternoon. And where we were at the campsite, they have no internet. I mean, literally, I pulled out my phone. And there's the no sign.
Nice. You know,
so I was like, okay, that's fine. And I didn't feel jittery or feel like I was out of touch. Actually, I was welcoming not getting new messages for a while. The only problem I had was there was a couple of times I'm working as a scribe in the whole course with another guy and another lady. And there was a couple of times like I wanted to say, hey, just go pull it off the internet, you know, but hey, wait a minute. I just had to rethink that. But I don't know if that's really addiction, more or less using it as a resource. But still, I didn't feel like I was shaky or I was missing Facebook or anything like that.
And we've gone on cruises before where we've elected not to buy the internet package. Like, hey, you know what? What happens, happens. Now, when you make landfall on an island, you can check in real quick and clean out the inbox so you don't get deluged when you get home. But
And on our cruise, the only reason I got the... Oh, social internet package is not to check Facebook because I didn't have it on my phone. It was so we can text our son and see make sure everything is all right.
Yes,
at the house.
And that's a legitimate excuse. I mean,
yeah. Other than that, I didn't look at Facebook. I didn't use it at all. You know, so
yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel addicted to it so much as they are. Like you said, there are times I go, I need to walk away from this for a little while, or I should be doing something else.
Not an addiction so much as I feel very dependent, and there are times when the dependency gets to be a little more than I care for.
Yeah. So, and that's healthy, I think.
As long as you recognize it and you do something about it.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, there's been times I've had some having to drink and I'm like, okay, I've just had enough. As long as I identify and go, okay, I'm done. Yeah. I don't need any more. I'm fine. But
DragonCon.
Yeah, Dragon Con. Well, that's just a weekend,
Long weekend, which reminds me, we will be at Dragon Con arriving on Wednesday this year. Hope to see you there. We've got our Technorama comedy forecast combined show. Are we within that 10-day window yet? We're pretty darn close, aren't we?
Let's see. It will be...
Check the schedule. I'm listed as a attending professional. So if you look for my name, you'll know where we are.
Oh, so when this show goes out,
it'll be within that window. But we haven't received confirmation. So anything could happen as we record this, but in all likelihood, we have our Technorama comedy forecast show. I guess we could do the schedule for them next week. But again,
if it's important, if you're going to Dragon Con and you want to catch up with us, check our Twitter or Facebook page.
Yep.
And we will definitely keep you updated. I don't know if we can update you through the podcast quick enough, but we can certainly do that through the Facebook.
We'll be doing Technorama. We will be doing the Topic is Trek. And I've got another panel following the Technorama comedy forecast called So You Want to Start a Podcast? I don't know what I'm going to talk about.
That's a comedy podcast in itself.
I have no idea what I'm going to be talking about. I think I'm just there for the color commentary.
You should do it. It should be called You Shouldn't Start a Podcast.
We'll just. Yeah, don't waste your time. That brings us to the end of the show as Donna flashes the null license plate one more time on the screen.
Oh, is she telling you, move along?
Question of the week this week is, what's a statistic that blew your mind? How many germs are on your keyboard? Or your
phone? How many
phone?
People have a quick question?
How many people respond to the Technorama question? That's amazing. How many people?
Yeah.
All right. What is a statistic that blew your mind is our question. We'll put that on social media next week and get that on episode 575. We're approaching 600, Craig.
What?
I'm forecasting will happen. Oh, probably Q2 next year. Maybe early Q3. Not sure.
Next year?
Yeah. Maybe late Q1. Late Q1.
Well, if we do a podcast a day.
No, a podcast a day. We'll have it inside a month.
Oh, by the way, we are doing a podcast today.
Oh, yes. Dog Days of Podcasting. Dogdaysofpodcasting.com. There you are. You can go over there, and there are podcasters that are doing a podcast a day, which Craig and I will be recording mine shortly after the show. So, go listen. And that comes up on its own entirety feed. You can get the master feed and listen to all those shows going all the way back to August 1st of this year. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you, sir. It's been fun hanging out once again.
It has been fun. Thank you.
We'll be hanging out practically nonstop in about a week and a half. Looking forward to it.
All right, bracing myself.
Yeah, I can't get into hangover mode. Something.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. We'd love to hear from you. Or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. You can find all this information and more on our website at chuckchat.com/technorama. We'd love to see you there. And tell someone you know about the show. It's been a while, right?
It has been a while. We need another listener.
Tell a friend. We need that Patreon table to just unbalance and come unhinged. Till next time, Craig, give me a binary high five.
All right. 101. See you, everybody.